Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yuri Toplak, welcome, how are you?
Hello, Kathy, good afternoon.
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, it is.
It's Yuri,
it's
right?
Yuri.
How do we define hate speech? Is there an actual definition for it?
Well, there are different definitions in different countries, but the most common definition is that hate speech is discriminatory speech directed at certain groups or individuals belong to certain group. And while hate speech was allowed in the past, it is more and more countries now prohibit it and sanction it.
Yes.
It is a discriminatory speech with intended to have negative results.
Okay. You know, this is where language gets to be so important. Because two words that describe the same thing, one could be discernment and the other one is discriminatory. You know, the one is negative and the other one is positive. Discernment is something that you're choosing not to have or you're choosing to have. Getting away from the semantics, I just don't want to run out of time with you because this is an important topic. What were the takeaway points from this free speech in the 21st century conference?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, first I would like to say that about the hate speech, at first hate speech applied to racial minorities, but now its scope widened, so it also covers religious minorities, gay population, migrants, elderly, and the new groups are added to this hate speech coverage. But the conference, this was this year's most important international event about the law of freedom of speech. And there were over 50 presenters from 28 countries. There were also two presenters from South Africa, from University of Cape Town. And the findings were, if I would say shortly, that freedom of expression, which has been so important for democracy for the last decades, is becoming irrelevant because communication is moving to private platforms on the internet and constitutional protections mostly do not apply on the internet. So we are approaching an era of private censorship in which a small number of web platforms, or even better, small number of owners of web platforms control global communications. They decide which websites you will see when you Google something. They decide which results or which post you will see when you open up your Facebook.
Yeah.
And these are the issues of the future of freedom of expression.
So how was it resolved? I mean, it's so true what you say. You know, somebody who is, I don't know, who is in a depressed state, for example, is going to like a particular kind of feed or particular type of post on their Facebook feed, which in turn is going, you know, they're going to see more negative feeds. It can be completely destructive, mentally destructive for people because of how the algorithm works.
Yeah. Under the current law, this is a contractual agreement. It's a contract between a user and the Facebook, because when you open your account, you agree to the contract, to terms and conditions. And the state doesn't have much to do with it. It is you as a user and a company called Facebook, and you made a contract with them that they can show you whatever they want to. So it does, under current law, the state and the constitution does not have much to do with it. And it is a contract between you and the company. And the conference showed that this is becoming increasingly problematic because of the enormous power of these companies. And probably the governments, the states need to start intervening, to intervene with some legislation that will introduce some safeguards for the users.
Okay, so how's that going to work? Are you going to engage Facebook?
Yeah, the Facebook already started by setting up it's called an oversight board. It is essentially a court of Facebook. It now has 20 most prominent world's former judges, jurists, and other experts who will decide on the most crucial cases about Facebook. And they will be a sort of Supreme Court of Facebook. So this is the first step. And the next steps will probably be that the governments or the courts will require that there's certain appeal process in Facebook, in which and other platforms, in which users can appeal in case of in case their so-called rights are being violated.
Did anything surprise you at the conference?
Yeah, it was surprising that there's a popular belief that someone's freedom of speech is being violated, for example, when their account on Twitter or Facebook is closed down. But actually, under the law, there's no right to have an account. And when a platform closes down your account for whatever reason, no rights are being violated to the user. Then what is also surprising is that the decisions of the highest courts show that the freedom of expression as a political or legal right is fading away. It is losing on its importance, and we are moving into the world is moving into an era of private censorship. We've been there before, like 100 years ago. There were maybe 5 or 6 people or companies per country who decided what will be published and what will be not.
Yeah.
And we are moving again into this kind of era.
Is that scary for you? I mean, should we be nervous?
It is scary for me. It was also something that almost all the participants in the conference do not want to happen, but it seems that the world is going into this direction, and it's very, we didn't see any solution how to stop this. But in the history, it has happened a few times already that the number of those who decide what will be published and what will not be published has turned from, let's say, 5 or 6 to many, and then back to a very small number, and then back to many.
So interesting. It's so interesting.
Now we're going back. Yeah.
You know what, Yuri? I mean, if you think about it, let's zoom out for a moment. You know, there's a principle of the majority is always the ones to set. I mean, the minority is always the ones to set the agenda. So, for example, the Nazis were a minority. They drove the agenda. Do you know what I mean? If we're talking about Islamic terrorism, the minority drive the agenda. It's so interesting that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Here we have a minority deciding what the conversation is amongst the majority. They're driving an agenda. I sound like a conspiracy theorist. I'm scaring myself.
Yeah, it will be. There's a large possibility that the majority will support this.
Yeah.
Because they will get this kind of information from search engines and from platforms,
sure,
that they will change their mind and they will support this kind of system.
It's
quite probable that most of the population will support this kind of system because they will like the information they will get.
Yeah.
And their mind will be changed by this information.
Yuri, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I hope this is one of many conferences that you're going to be hosting, because we need to be talking about this. If we can talk about it, we can do something, you know, bring it into consciousness.
Thank you. I hope you found it useful.
Thank you. Very useful. Have a wonderful afternoon. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.